Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we invite you to give us a call tonight. You can call toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And of course, you can follow us here online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. You can also watch us online there as well on Facebook Live. And, of course, you can always tune into the radio station. If you have trouble receiving the signal, sometimes it gets a little hard on the AM band. You can go to whkwradio.com and listen directly there at whkwradio.com. And then we certainly welcome you, though, online. But we also welcome you on the air at AM 1220, The Word. Also out in Warren, Youngstown area on 1440 WZ, I believe it is. Isn't that it? I think it is WHKWZ, I believe. and here in addition to WHKW. And then there's always 96.9 FM in the Metro Cleveland area. So a lot of ways to get us, a lot of ways to listen, and we hope you'll stick with us here tonight. Well, welcome to the program. My name's Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight, and let's go ahead and open our program in a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We do pray you bless the program. Use it for your glory. Thank you for the opportunity. Help us to be a blessing to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ, and help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And bless now, we pray. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you had a good 4th of July this past week. Little warm. I'll tell you what, we had felt like the dog days of late July, early August here in the beginning of July this year. We had so much rain and cool weather earlier on, and now, of course, it seemed like we went to hot weather and rain, and we were talking with some friends. We had some friends over for 4th of July, grilled a few burgers, hot dogs, and some ribs, and it was like 90-plus degrees. I forget what it got up to, 92 or something like that. Standing out in the hot sun with a hot grill, that was fun, and the high humidity. Somebody said, is this like Samoa? My wife and I lived four years in the Samoan Islands, starting a church there, and said, well, kind of. The humidity is there, but it's too hot. In the Samoan Islands, we were fortunate. Rarely did it get up into the 90s. If it got beyond the upper 80s into the 90s, it was a very hot day. Of course, if it got below the 80s down in the 70s, that was a cold day. I was looking at something not too recently that we had from when we were there. We were there in the 1990s, and I remember we had a I had sent something, I think it was either to my parents or my wife's parents, we had sent something saying that we'd only seen twice that it got down as low as 68 degrees, and I think that was in the first year and a half that we were there. Yeah, we didn't have too much cold weather to be contended with. Most of the time was spent right there in the 80s with 90-plus percent humidity year-round. So it was a lot of fun, though. We had an opportunity to start a church there and to see that church grow, and it's still there today, and it's got its own pastor, and it's going strong. And that was on the island of Tutuila in American Samoa, which is is a U.S. territory in the South Pacific. You know, if people say, well, where in the world is the Samoan Islands? Well, if you fly to Hawaii and you head from Hawaii down toward New Zealand, if I remember correctly, it's about two-thirds of the way to New Zealand, just below the equator out in the middle of the South Pacific. And the closest thing that most people have ever heard about is Fiji, and I think that was still about 800,000 miles away. That was a good ways away, maybe not quite 1,000, but it was still a ways away. And you had to work to get to the Samoan Islands. It was hard to get there just by accident. It was so far away and isolated from just about anything. But what an interesting time. And we really enjoyed it, saw a church plant, saw people saved and the church growing. And then, of course, like I said, after we came back to the States and I became the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, which is my home church, my sending church, and we had the privilege of working there ever since. Excuse me. And when we were, of course, keeping tabs and finding out the church down there growing, and then they in turn started a church over on the island of Savai in the independent country of Samoa. And for those of you who are not familiar with the Samoan Islands, it's a chain of islands. It's a volcanic chain. Basically, it's the tips of volcanoes rising up from the Pacific Ocean floor, just like Hawaii is, only below the equator and a little closer to the equator, but below it. And the islands are divided into the eastern Samoan Islands and the western Samoan Islands. The eastern Samoan Islands came under the U.S. flag as a U.S. territory. In fact, Flag Day every year was celebrated as the time when the chiefs of the eastern Samoan Islands ceded control to the United States in exchange for certain things, and so they celebrate Flag Day every year as a result. And, of course, as a U.S. territory, Samoans from American Samoa can come to the United States because they're U.S. nationals. And then, of course, the western Samoan Islands, there's a dividing line of a boundary between the U.S. territory of American Samoa and the independent country of Samoa, formerly called Western Samoa, between the island of Tutuila and the island of Upolu. And then, of course, which is kind of a unique thing now, they moved the international date line a few years ago so that Western Samoa, or the Western Samoan Islands, the independent country of Samoa, is now on the other side of the international dateline from American Samoa. The international dateline used to be to the west of the Western Samoan Islands. And as a consequence, when they move the dateline, of course, when you cross the dateline, if I remember correctly, going to the west, you either go back a day or you get, I'm trying to remember now which way you go. it's you go ahead a day, I believe it is. I believe it's the next day, only the hour is a little off, but it's the next day. So if it's 10 o'clock at night or in the morning in American Samoa on Sunday morning, I believe it would be 9 o'clock in the morning on Monday morning in the independent country of Samoa. I said all that to say this: when you're standing on the western end of American Samoa there on the island of Tutuila, and you look across the water, and when the weather's clear, you can look across and see the easternmost end of Upolu, which is the independent country of Samoa. You're literally looking into tomorrow. How's that? You're literally looking across the international dateline to the next day. So likewise, if you're over in Samoa, you can look across from there back to Tutuila, American Samoa, and you're looking into the past. How about that? Didn't think time travel was possible, did you? So it's kind of amazing. They had to put the dateline somewhere, and so for their own reasons, I believe it was, they wanted to be more in tune in Western Samoan Islands, more in tune with New Zealand and Australia. They're more closely related to them than the United States in terms of their allegiances and such not. So But it was a great time being there, and we were able to plant a church there. Like I said, it's continuing on to today, and a number of people saved. They started another church on the island of Savai, which is further west in western Samoa, and then, of course, helping with some churches that have been started on Upolu, which is the island where the capital of Apia of Samoa is. And just nice to see churches established and growing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to, God gave us the orders in the Bible. The Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And Jesus told the disciples, in fact, I'm going to turn over there so I can get it just exactly right, in the book of Acts, just before Jesus ascended up into heaven. It really is kind of interesting when you see this there. The disciples are talking with Jesus there on the Mount of Olives, and Jesus had told them that he was going to depart. He had told them that previously so that the Holy Spirit could come down upon them. And it says here in Acts chapter 1 verse number, let's drop down to verse number 8. He says, "But ye," this is Jesus talking to the disciples, he said, "but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And this is one of the last things that he said, because it says in verse 9, "When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Now, this is important to note, that when Jesus ascended up into heaven, you ever watched a helium balloon that somebody lets go of, and it just goes up and gets smaller and smaller and smaller till you lose sight of it? That's not what happened here. He didn't get smaller and smaller till they lost sight of him. The Bible says he was taken up, and as he went up into the sky, a cloud received him out of their sight. And then it says in verse 10, "While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." Now, these two men are not human beings. They're angelic beings. They're angels. And they say here in verse 11, which say also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And remember, we read there in verse 9 that he was taken up, a cloud received him out of their sight. This is important to note because the angels said he's going to come back the same way in the clouds. A cloud took him when he left. He'll come back with the clouds. And the other thing that they point out here is the time for just standing around gazing up into the sky was over. They were to get ready to do the work that God had given them to do. And when we read over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when he's talking about Jesus coming back here, he says, starting verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now, prevent there is used in the sense of to go before, meaning we won't keep them from being first raised. And then he says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." In verse 17, he says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, this is important that the Bible said in Acts chapter 1, in verse number 9 here, that Jesus was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And then the angels in verse 11 said he's coming back in like manner, which means he's coming back in the clouds. And this is what we see in this event that we refer to as the rapture, which is the catching away of the believers. And there's two parts to this. There's the dead in Christ, and then there's those who are alive as believers when he comes back. And a lot of people misunderstand this. Some people falsely teach that the soul of the believer sleeps in the grave until this event takes place. Well, you can see that that's a false teaching if you look closely at what's being said here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because he said that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, meaning those that have died, will God bring with him. Now, catch what he said there. He said, God will bring the dead in Christ with him. Now, if they're in the ground, in the grave, sleeping, how does he bring them with him? Well, it's very simple. The reason that Jesus is able to bring the dead in Christ with him, it's very simple. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says in verse number 8, we are confident, as believers we're talking here, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. See, when we die, remember, we're created in the image of God. We're a three-part being. Remember, God is presented to us in the Bible as the Godhead or the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Not three gods, one God with three persons to his being, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let us make man in our image. And that's the image of the Godhead, in that we're a three-part being in the image of God. Now, we're not exactly like God. We're not little gods, little deities, as some falsely teach. Those that teach that we're little gods are falling for the lie of the devil. Remember, Satan told Eve in the guise of the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, he said that she ate the forbidden fruit. He said, ye shall be as gods. You know, this idea that we can become little gods, little deities, that's a satanic lie, and that was a temptation that was used against Eve. You become as God. That's the temptation that caused Lucifer to fall when he said, I will be like the Most High. He wanted to be worshipped. He wanted to take God's place. He wanted to be a God, and he appealed to Eve that you can be a God. And the occult groups, various Eastern religions, all try to bring out this false satanic idea that you can become a god, and false teachers even entering into Christianity, into Christian churches, try to teach that you are a little god, that you can become a god, or that you are a god. That's simply satanic lies. We're in the image of God, but we're not gods. And we have a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. This body, soul, and spirit that we have reflects the image of God. And, you know, we've talked about this before. It corresponds to the Godhead. It's an image. It's a picture. It's not exactly the same. Just like a photograph of you is like you. It's an image of you, but it's not exactly the same as you. There's much that's wrong or different about it. For one, it's generally smaller, and it's flat, and it has no depth to it. But any rate, it's your image. It's reminiscent of you, and it gives an idea of what you are and what you look like. And so we give an image of what God is, what God is like. And so our body would be corresponding. God created Adam, he formed him of the dust of the earth, formed his physical body that corresponds to the the physical manifestation of God that we find, God was manifest in the flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Then, of course, there's God the Holy Spirit or God the Holy Ghost. That corresponds to the spiritual nature of us, God the Holy Spirit. And as a consequence, we see the last one, our soul, the mind, the intellect, the emotion and all, the will. Part of us, that corresponds, the soul corresponds to God the Holy Spirit. And so we have God the Holy Spirit, and that's, the third, we have, I'm sorry, I said the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and so we see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're in His image, our soul corresponding to God the Father, our spirit corresponding to God the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, and our body corresponding to God the Son, and a three-part being, we're in the image of God. When we die, physical death means that the soul and the spirit are separated from the body, and that's death. And we saw here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that when Jesus comes with those that have died in Christ, he says he will bring them with him. Well, clearly the bodies aren't there because it says in verse 16, two verses later, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That's the body. Because when a believer dies, what happens is that the body is separated from the soul and spirit. You don't go into the grave, body, soul, and spirit, and sleep there until this day. What happens is your body goes into the grave to sleep in the grave, your soul and the spirit absent from the body, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So soul and spirit is with the Lord in heaven. The body is in the grave. At the time of the rapture, the catching away of the believers, the first thing that takes place is the dead in Christ come with him, soul and spirit, and the body says, or the Bible says, there's the Lord descending from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those dead bodies are restored to that soul and spirit, and we are, the dead in Christ are made alive, resurrected, body, soul, and spirit in Christ. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. See, that's the order. The living believers are not caught up before the dead in Christ. The dead in Christ, their soul and spirit come back from heaven with the Lord, because absent from the body, present with the Lord, who's in heaven. The bodies, which are in the grave, are brought up, and this mortal, corruptible body becomes an immortal, incorruptible body, and their soul and spirit reunited with that. That's the resurrection, the first resurrection. Then, in a moment, in a twinkling, we who are alive, our physical bodies are also changed. This physical body has a sin nature, and that sin nature has to be dealt with so that we can be in the presence of the Lord in heaven. And when that sin nature is dealt with, we're caught up to be with him, body, soul, and spirit, caught up in the clouds. Jesus comes in the clouds, just like the angels said in Acts chapter 1, where it says, when they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and the angel said, he's coming back in like manner. When he comes back for us, he's coming back in the clouds. And then, of course, the angel said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? In other words, you've got work to do. it's time to get busy. It was time for them to go prepare for the Holy Spirit to be poured out on them so that they could be filled with God's power to go out into the world so that they could begin the work that God had given them to do. And this is what's exciting when we think about this. And so, of course, they tarried. The day of Pentecost came, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't have time to get into that right now. We're coming up on the break. But this exciting thing, doing the work, and we have work to do as well, but one day we are going to be caught up to be with the Lord in the air. And that's what he said there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It would be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And he says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, never to be separated, never to be apart from him again. It's exciting. We will be with him in heaven. And then, of course, we also know that during the events of the tribulation which take place on earth, and judgment poured out, the wrath of God poured out on a world that has rejected Christ as their Savior, and then what happens at the end of the tribulation, the battle of Armageddon, and the eastern sky splits wide open, and Jesus Christ returns again in the clouds with the armies of heaven, the holy angels, and the saints, that's us, that have gone on before, returning to the earth. You can read about that in Revelation chapter 19. You can read some about that in Zechariah chapter 14. There's other passages. But Jesus Christ comes back in the clouds in glory at the conclusion of the tribulation, at the Battle of Armageddon, to defeat the Antichrist and the false prophet thrown into the lake of fire, and then the devil himself bound and thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and Jesus sets up his kingdom on earth. We rule and reign with him on earth during that period of time. It's an exciting thing, and we'll go into that as the redeemed of the Lord in a new body without a sin nature. I mean, think about that. No sin nature. A body like that of the risen Christ to serve him during that millennial kingdom. It's exciting when you think about it. And there's more too, because, you know, the millennial reign of Christ comes to an end, and then comes the eternity future in the new heaven and the new earth. And you'll be there and I'll be there if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Well, stay tuned.
I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
You're listening to Live with Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. We'd love to hear from you. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And well, just want to remind you too that you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and we'd love to hear or give you an opportunity to get on the air as well. Like I said, I was going to mention, too, that I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and we'll have more information about that at the end of the program, but you can find us at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, Ohio, and every Friday night we're there for a Bible study that goes from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock. It's informal, and actually it is the genesis of this radio program because people bring the questions, and we talk about the Bible. We talk about current events in light of God's Word, just like we do on the radio program. And then on Sundays, on Sunday morning, we have a Bible time at 10 o'clock, and we just finished a study on Jesus the Messiah in the Old Testament, and thought I might even touch on a couple things from that here tonight if I have time. But on Sunday morning, I'm currently preaching through the book of Colossians, and then on Sunday night, I'm preaching through the book of Proverbs, and so if you're interested in that, we'd love to have you come out and pay us a visit. All right. Also wanted to mention that we're brought to you tonight by the East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights is located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you've never been there before, mention Live with Pastor Al. You can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's for first-time customers there. And you got to mention our program. That's East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our program. Like I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And you can give us a call, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And had an interesting experience this evening at church because we meet in a hotel, and it's always kind of interesting when you meet in a hotel, and sometimes you run into people and you have guests in the hotel, and we're very fortunate there at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express that we get along well with the staff and management, and they tell people about our church, and I believe we're even in the information booklet there at the hotel. But we had a lady who came in. She just, I think it was, when was it? It was just before church was starting or just after we ended. I can't remember which now, but she came through and she just had some questions about us. She didn't have time to be there for the service, but it was kind of interesting. She was up from Cincinnati for the baseball All-Stars game that was going on in Cleveland. And I asked her where she said she was a guest, and I asked her what she was up for. And she said, oh, for baseball and for a military thing. And I said, oh, I'm curious. I was in the Air Force, and We had a special speaker tonight, Brad Work from Cleveland Baptist Church, who's going to be starting a church in the east side of Cuyahoga County, east of Cleveland there. And he was retired from the Air Force, and another guy there in the service who had been in the Army. I pointed out, I said, out of curiosity, you know, what did they have going on with the military? And she said, well, she had lost a son in Iraq. And she was a Gold Star mother. And, you know, she only had, you know, just 5 minutes to be there. She was in the midst of going somewhere, and she just wanted to ask a couple questions about the church. But what a precious couple of minutes to be able to meet that lady and to be able to, you know, just interact with her for a little bit, you know, the sacrifice that her son made for the freedom. You know, we celebrated the 4th of July here this past week, and you know, the sacrifices, Memorial Day last month, and the sacrifices that people made so that we can enjoy the freedom. Sacrifices like this lady and her family have made, losing their son in service to our country. And so I just want to, you know, give a shout out to Gold Star families out there. You know, we can't thank them enough. The sacrifice of a child, and so that the rest of us can have freedom to do just what we're doing right now, freedom to go to the church of your choice or not go, as many did today, freedom to enjoy a day of celebrating on the 4th of July this past Thursday. And it's because of these soldiers and these families of these soldiers who some, you know, as the saying goes, all gave some and some gave all. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. We've got a caller online. We've got John calling in tonight. And John, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
I am doing well. How are you, John?
Good. You quoted the verse in 1 Thessalonians.
Yes, sir.
And Paul seemed to indicate that the rapture would occur in his lifetime.
No, actually, he didn't. He said it was possible. He didn't know when it was going to occur. He was certainly looking forward to it because over in the book of Titus, he referred to it as the blessed hope. And certainly I have the hope that it'll occur in my lifetime, but I have no guarantee of it. I mean, I don't have any guarantee that my lifetime will go beyond today. So I don't have any guarantee.
Well, is it possible that the rapture began in the first century?
Obviously not, because when you compare 1 Thessalonians and the account there with a related account that also Paul relates about the rapture or the catching away of the believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says this in chapter 15, verse 41, or I'm sorry, 51. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," meaning die, "but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality." So he's saying this takes place in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trump. And that's what we saw in 1 Thessalonians, where he said, "For the Lord himself shall descend," 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So they're talking about the same event here, and Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians, makes it clear that this is a very fast event, a near instantaneous event, in the twinkling of an eye, he says. I don't know how long it takes for the twinkling of an eye. People have suggested various time frames, but it's very quick. And so this is going to be one event that takes place quickly, And when that event takes place quickly, the dead in Christ, of course, soul and spirit is with the Lord and comes with him, as we saw in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The body, which is in the grave, is raised up at that moment. And then the briefest of moments later, all of those who are alive and know the Lord as their Savior will be caught up and their bodies changed. And as he said here, this corruptible puts on incorruption, this mortal puts on immortality, and then we're with the Lord. So if that took place in the first century, then that was a one-time event, but it didn't, obviously, because it didn't take place.
I guess I'm wondering if the rapture isn't what you quoted in 2 Corinthians 5:8.
In 2 Corinthians 5:8, let me take a look there and see what we're looking at. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, where he said, we're confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's when we die. When the rapture takes place, we'll be with the Lord, body, soul, and spirit. Those who had been separated from their body, meaning they experienced physical death, their soul and spirit will be with the Lord in heaven, absent from the body. And that's what he's talking about there. He's talking about in 2 Corinthians 5:8, he's talking about physical death, where we die, the body goes into the grave, and the soul and spirit go to be with the Lord. At the rapture, the soul and spirit of those that have died are brought together and reunited with the body that is turned into an incorruptible, immortal body. And then, of course, at the same time, or just the briefest of moments after that, the same event, the living believers, their bodies are changed into an immortal and incorruptible body, and we're caught up to be with the Lord, body, soul, and spirit. So clearly, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, where they're separated from the body to be with the Lord, is not the same thing, because in the rapture, we're present with the Lord, body, soul, and spirit, not separated from the body.
Well, I guess I'm wondering, in 2 Corinthians 5:8, it would talk about the earthly or natural body, but when the soul and spirit go to be with the Lord, couldn't another body be given?
Well, he could, but he doesn't say that we do. It says we're absent from the body, so that's death. And if we were given another body, then why would we need to have the old body raised in the rapture? Because it's very clear when you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the soul and spirit are present with the Lord, comes with him, because it says in verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So he brings the soul and spirit of the dead in Christ with him, because they're absent from the body, present with the Lord, so they come with the Lord in the clouds. And then there's the out the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and their dead bodies are raised up and turned into an immortal, incorruptible body. So if another body was given to them in heaven, then that would have been a temporary body that would have been done away with. I believe that by looking at this, when we die, we go body and body into the grave, soul and spirit separated from the body to be present with the Lord in heaven. And then at the rapture, the soul and spirit are brought to the clouds with the Lord, and the body is raised from the grave and reunited with that soul and spirit. And then the living believers are caught up body, soul, and spirit to be with the Lord.
Okay, well, it's always interesting hearing your answer to all the questions.
Yeah, well, we compare Scripture with Scripture, so it's very clear that 2 Corinthians 5:8 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 are two different events. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 cures what took place in 1 Corinthians 5:8. So it puts us back together again, so to speak.
Okay. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thank you for the question. Appreciate it, John. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we look at these things that the Bible talks about happening and the excitement, you know, and these are things. I was talking with somebody after church this morning, and we were talking about how there's so many things that seem to indicate that these events are close, you know, and we don't know the day nor the hour, but it is kind of interesting. Let me go back to 1 Thessalonians there. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 here, he says this to believers. He says, but of the times and seasons, brethren. Now, this is interesting when he says, but of the times and seasons. Now, times and seasons, you know, we know that we're in the season of summer. We know that we're in a time when weather is getting warmer and we've got an extended period of time warm. We have an idea of where we're at seasons-wise. And on the heels of talking in chapter 4 about the catching away of the believers in these various events here, he says, of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And this reflects what we were talking about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it also tells us that as believers, if you know Christ as your Savior, the Bible indicates that we ought to be able to know who Christ, or when Christ, or the approximate time that Christ is going to be coming back. Not the exact day, not the exact hour, and I'm never going to set a date and say it has to be this date, it has to be that date. A lot of people have done that. A lot of people got in trouble doing that over the years, and many of you listening are well aware of that. But the fact of the matter is that he says that we're not to sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, meaning we're supposed to be keeping an eye. We're supposed to be watching for the return of the Lord. We're not to be surprised as some people have or are or will be. We're supposed to know the times and the seasons to be able to know when we're in a time near and we can expect the coming of the Lord. And there's a lot of things that people have speculated on. Maybe you've heard people talking about how there's going to be 6,000 years of human history, and then the Lord will come back and set up his millennial kingdom. And it is interesting when you look at that, you know, the flood being about roughly 4,000 years or so ago, and then looking at the creation of the world being just under 2,000 years before that, suggesting that we've got about almost 6,000 years of human history, and then the Lord comes back and sets up his 1,000-year reign of Christ so that it reflects that of the creation week. Remember, in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day, he rested. And that reflects the idea of the Bible talking about one day is equivalent or is like 1,000 years in heaven. And, of course, the same thing also is said about one day in heaven or 1,000 years in heaven being like one day on earth, which basically what that's saying is time is irrelevant in heaven. It's not experienced or viewed the same as it is here on earth. One day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is as one day. But yet, that's an interesting concept, you know, that there'd be, in a sense, a week of human history, each day being equivalent to 1,000 years. And we do see things in the scriptures indicating the use of the term week, just like Daniel's vision in Daniel chapter 9 of the 70 weeks of years, and the 70 weeks, each week being composed of 7 years. And that's the idea that if we're nearing the end of the 6,000 years since the creation, then doesn't it seem to make sense that the Lord will be coming back soon and setting up his kingdom here on earth? That's an interesting thought. In the book of Luke, it's recorded that that the Lord would come back during the generation, or it's indicated that during the generation that sees the budding of the trees, the fig tree and other trees in the scripture there, which, of course, the fig tree would represent Israel as a nation. Other trees, we could say the cedars of Lebanon, the oaks of Bashan, which would be Syria, and those nations all became independent states in the 20th century. Syria and, of course, Lebanon, and even what is Israel today, were under the Ottoman Empire for many years, and following the end of World War I, of course, the Ottoman Turks were on the Axis side of the war with the Germans and others, and they lost, and the Ottoman Empire came to an end, and its holdings were divvied up amongst the Allied powers of Europe. And following World War II, many of those areas then became independent states in the mid part of the 20th century, of course, Israel in 1948. And so the idea, the generation that saw that would live to see the return of Christ to set up his kingdom on earth. Now, if that's the case, how long is a generation? Does it simply mean people who are alive then would be alive when the Lord returns? It could mean that. We don't know for sure. Some have speculated that the generation was the equivalent of 40 years. Well, we're beyond 40 years from 1948. That would have been in 1988. We're well beyond that. And then, of course, there's the idea, the Bible talks and teaches, that the lifespan of a man was 70, score being 20, so that 3 times 20, that's 60 plus 10, that's 70, or 40, if by strength 40, and that gives us 80, so 70 to 80 years. And so you take 1948, add 70 years, that brings you to 2018, or 80 years brings you to 2028, subtract 7 years for the tribulation, and that would suggest to some that the rapture would take place sometime, of course, before the tribulation, which would put it between 2011 and 2021. So that's yet another thing indicating that we seem to be in the general time frame. We also have other things. For instance, the book of Revelation talks about the two witnesses that are executed at the midpoint of the tribulation, and their bodies lay in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days, and the whole world sees them. Well, until the 1960s, that possibility did not occur. It wasn't until the invention of satellite television service that the idea that the whole world could see the bodies of these three, say, well, why couldn't the whole world have seen that? They still had television and they had newsreels. Well, here's what happened. If it happened prior to satellite TV, the world would have seen it after somebody filmed the events and then took those films, developed them, and then made copies and then began distributing them around the world, and that would have taken longer than 3.5 days for most of the world to see it. But with the advent of satellite television, the whole world had that capability of seeing it. Now with the internet, you can watch events around the world happening in real time on your laptop computer, on your cell phone. And so it's entirely possible for the whole world to see it now. There's just so many things that indicate that we're in that latter time and that we're looking forward to the return of Christ. I don't know when it's going to come, but my hope is that it'll come sooner than later. My hope would be that it would come this year. My hope is certainly that it would come before next year or before too much more time goes by, but we need to know Christ as our Savior. That's the key. If you haven't trusted Christ your Savior, do so today. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station.